Amen. You blew that when you sang like you was at, you seen them flowers when you came in, didn't you? Got you down. Thought this, the funeral's down the hall. This is the worship service. Amen. I'm glad to be back here this morning. Let's look in 2 Corinthians chapter number 3 this morning. Glad to be back. We ran into an ice storm somewhere down below Petersburg. Started getting cold, about freezing, about the freezing point there. So we started praying. And really, we didn't hit a slick spot till we got up here to Delaware. Thankfully, we got on some of these back roads to take a couple folks home that was with us, that don't live with us, and got into a couple of slick spots, but the Lord even watched over us in that. When it's 28 degrees and the road ain't froze, that's a miracle from heaven. Amen? Even if it's a miracle of junk they put down on the road to rust out your car, we'll still give God the glory for it. Amen? It's a great place to, except for when that stuff gets down in the ditch and gets into your water system. I don't know if we'll live very long or not. That stuff, if it won't let water freeze, there's something in there that probably won't agree too much with your guts either. Amen. When you drink it, I'm sure that stuff gets in your water system somehow, but they'll find a way to blame it on China. And nothing's our fault. It's all China's fault. Amen. It's all Democrats. Yeah, that's probably right. Antifa did that somehow or another. But at any rate, want to talk to you this morning a little bit about the fact that there is liberty. Got down there, got to preach with Brother Mark this week, which is a great thing. Brother Mark will be here in a couple of weeks. March, is it the 17th or something like that? 22nd. One of them days in March, Brother Mark will be here with us, and we'll have a good old time. Had three people get saved last week, and that's a good thing. That's, we got revivals and people get saved. That's good, amen? And so got a little bit of revival myself. Woke up, took me half a week of preaching to wake up to preaching. I must have went to sleep up here or something. I don't know. But at any rate, we had a good time, and the church is going good down there. Brother Nathan's doing a good job. About half of them's shouting it out, and about half of them's mad at him. So that's good. That's good. Amen. That's the way it's supposed to be. Amen. Might make some of y'all mad this morning. I don't know. That don't depend on me. I don't wake up in the morning and say, let's go see how we can make these people mad. That's not what you do. Get a message from God. I hope that's where preacher's messages come from. You'd be much better off getting a message from God than you would getting your message out of the lexicon or the, you know, whatever it is people look at this day and time, the thesaurus. I think that's another type of dinosaur, thesaurus. But I don't know. I don't know. The Bible is a good book, amen? That's what we're going to look at this morning, 2 Corinthians chapter number 3. And we'll read one verse. I'm glad Jaylen isn't here this morning. I just preached this the other day. Ruth needs it, so amen. But at any rate, I'm slipping in on Sunday school when folks are over yonder. But at any rate, verse number 17, 2 Corinthians chapter number 3 and verse number 17. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Lord, thank you this morning for the opportunity to come to your house. Thank you, God, that the people were able to get here. And Lord, we know you're here. You said we're two or three are gathered. There you would be in the midst, and we thank you, God, gathered in your name, that is, and we are gathered in your name, and I thank you, God, for being merciful to us. Thank you for that amazing grace we just sang about. If it wasn't for that amazing grace, no doubt we'd be dead. No doubt the consequences of our own decisions would have overtaken us and destroyed us by now. We thank you, God, for all you've done for us, how you've helped us, how you've provided for us, and how you've walked along with us all these years. We thank you for that. We pray, God, that you'd meet with us again here this morning. God, speak to our hearts. Help me to preach. God, help these folks to hear and to listen. We'll thank you, God, for all that you do. Pray for Brother Nathan and his church this morning down there. We pray you'd help them and walk with them and guide them. And, Lord, anything that they need, I pray, oh God, that you'd supply that. I pray, God, for our needs here. I pray you'd supply those. Lord, looking forward to a good year this year with some great accomplishments and Lord, both physical and spiritual. And we pray, God, you do something here. And Lord, we'll be here just to spectate, just to praise you. God, put our hands to the plow if that's what you tell us to do. And when you tell us to stand aside and see what you'll do, we'll do that. We'll thank you for your goodness and for your grace. Thank you again, oh God. And walk with us this morning, God, and talk with us. And we'll thank you for all that you do. In Jesus Christ's name we pray it. Amen. Amen. Now, this verse contains a word that a lot of people are interested in this day and time. He says, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And that tells me one thing. If I want liberty, there's the word. Yeah. Liberty. We love liberty. They might come and take our guns. Well, do you have the Lord? I don't want them to take my guns. I'm rather fond of my guns. I believe I keep one or two of them. Amen. But I tell you what, our liberty doesn't depend on guns. From time to time, somebody might try to take your liberty. You might have to use a gun. But that's not the source of liberty. The Bible says the source of liberty is the Spirit of the Lord. If there ever has been liberty anywhere, it's because somewhere in the corner of an old house, somebody was praying. Down in some kind of legislative hall somewhere, people were opening up in prayer. I'm talking about sincere prayer, not this foolish prayer where you close with a man and a woman. Isn't that the most ridiculous thing you've ever heard in your life? And you just think about that. That is the mindset. A man has nothing to do with gender. I don't know if you know that or not. Why does it have to be a man? It has nothing to do with the word man. But that people who have made it all the way to Washington, D.C. and are in charge of things. A man that didn't know what amen meant, I wouldn't put him in charge of a janitor's bucket. Would you? That's ridiculous. Get him away from the janitor's bucket and set him down in the congregation. That's probably what's going on right here, folks that are down messing around the janitor's closet and fooling with this and fooling with that. Ought to be in the church house with their rear in the pew. That's what you're supposed to do when you go to church. You're supposed to come up, sit down in the pew and listen to the preaching. Well, I got this other job I got to do. This is church. This is a place where you come to sit down and listen to God's word and preach. Amen. About the only thing I could really legitimately excuse is the nursery. We need somebody in the nursery. Amen? We don't need nobody to watch the buckets. Amen. But back to this thing. Got people going all the way to D.C. and don't know what an amen is. Thinks it has something to do with your gender. They're making decisions for you. Fixing your roadways. Helping the poor. Matter of fact, I believe if a feller don't know what amen means, he'd be poor if it wasn't for the government paying his way. Amen? Paying that fella's salary. He probably makes $200,000 a year. Don't know what amen means. Why is it so quiet here? Hey, there's some people going, I don't know what amen means. Basically, it just means I agree with you. That is so. That is right. That is truth. Amen. That's what that means. But at any rate, we depended on that crowd up there in Washington, D.C. for our liberty. Of course, that's the way we act. Oh, Lord, Biden's a president. We won't get, well, I mean, we won't be any freer under Biden than we was under Trump. Trump or Biden don't produce liberty. The Spirit of the Lord produces liberty. Amen. And this day and time, we got lots and lots and lots and lots of conservatives. Let me tell you this. There's a difference between conservatives and Christians. You say, well, if you're a Christian, you automatically be a conservative. I'm not so sure about that. I think if a man's a Christian, he ought not make up his mind too concretely about politics one way or the other. I think they're both rascals, don't you? Matter of fact, I think I'm a rascal. Don't you? I don't got too much business telling other people how to live their life when it comes to politics. Come down. I'll tell you what the Bible says about how we ought to live our lives. Every once in a while, I'll tell me what the Bible says, how we ought to live our lives try to straighten myself out a little bit. But I'm way more worried about myself than I am about you. I want to live right and do right. And imagine me telling you how to live and what to do and how fast to drive your car. And I don't even take care of my own life. And that's what conservatives is this day and time. Conservatives mean deregulation. Democrats mean regulation. And that's about the size of it. There ain't much difference in them. And we're going to think that one fella getting elected is going to secure our freedoms more than another. Well, if one fella stands for you doing what you want to physically, and the other one stands for doing what you want to domestically, that ain't going to help you too much. One fella says we ought to do this, and we ought to deregulate coal, and we ought to well, that if that's the difference between being conservative and liberal, one folk wants to get an abortion, one folk wants to drill an oil well, then you're splitting hairs about this old worldly stuff. When you come down to the church house and when you get down on your knees in your prayer closet, now you're splitting hairs about where your everlasting soul is going to be in eternity and let's say, if you go to heaven, how's your soul going to fare once you get there? The Bible says not everybody's going to rule and reign with him. Not everybody. I'm sure it'll be a great abundance compared to down here, but you don't get no crowns. You don't get no reward in heaven. It'll be heaven. But things will be as it is, I believe. I mean, well, I'm going to go down to my prayer closet and wrestle with God a little bit and try to get a little bit better tomorrow. I want to go to heaven, but I want to get rewards too. I want my Maker to be happy with me. I want him to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I don't want him to say, well, I guess you made it. Amen. You make it by his own name. You make it by his own blood. You make it by his sacrifice. Amen. That's the things I'll be worried about. I'm not going to split hairs too much with you on politics. I will talk to you about it if you really want to, but got other things to talk about, because the politics don't produce liberty. God produced liberty. Amen. I believe them old timers, they had faults and they had failures, but I believe a few of them anyway, believed in God, trusted in him, prayed and asked God. They didn't pray in 1776 and bow their head and say amen and a woman, trying to include everybody. When they was praying, they was trying to include God. They didn't say, dear men and women, they're praying to God. They're not trying to interest somebody else about a political ideology. Listen, if you get up praying in front of a bunch of people like Congress and you've got it in your mind to try to make everybody feel included, you're not praying to the people. You're praying to God. You're not supposed to be worried about what they think about it at all. I've heard preachers close out messages and continue the message for 15 minutes in their prayers. Dr. Ruckman called it preaching in your prayer. People do it. Well, are you done? If you're not done preaching, keep on preaching. Well, you don't want to keep them any longer. You just fool them into thinking you ain't preaching no more. And God, help me. I guess everybody does that. I don't know. But go on ahead and preach another half hour if you have to. Well, they'll get bored. They bored anyway. You folks probably bored right now. What in the world have I gotten myself into? I ain't even got to preaching the message yet. You're probably already bored. What difference does that make? They were sitting there reviling Jesus in their mind while he was preaching. He's sitting there reading their mind. He was changing his message on the fly according to what they were thinking in their hearts and minds. And by the way, why are you reasoning in your heart about this? And why are you reasoning in your heart about getting home to watch the Super Bowl? I mean, that was last week, but you understand what I'm talking about. Why are you reasoning in your heart about why this sermon's too long? Just change the message, because you of your father the devil. That's why you, amen. Seems right to me. Be all right with me. As long as, I guess, preaching's good as long as they're talking about something relative. Amen? I think so anyway. Maybe if the other half of the crowd was here this morning, they'd say amen or something. I don't know. But I've got news for you. If you depended on some politician for your liberty, or if you're dependent on your right to free speech. That's not where liberty comes from. Well, what do you need a right to free speech for anyway? You don't talk about the Lord. Wait till it comes down to where you can't say anything anymore. God, if you give us back our liberty, we'll tell somebody about you. Well, you didn't tell somebody about him when you had the liberty. And that's how liberties disappear. You don't do what's right when you got the liberties, therefore your liberties disappear. That's what the verse says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Amen. That's why I think you ought to get the Spirit of the Lord involved in your household. It'd be a lot easier on you and your wife and your little children. It'd be a lot easier for you to get along with one another. The Spirit of the Lord was down there. Pass each other in the hallway 70 times a day, and you can't say what's on your mind because you're afraid you're going to hurt one another's feelings, or you're going to make one another mad, or he's so sensitive you can't talk to him, or she's so... You think it's that, but it's not that. It's that the Spirit of the Lord ain't there, and there's no liberty. You keep it bottled up. Keep it bottled up. And if you do let the cork out of the bottle, well, I don't mean that bottle. You leave that bottle corked. But if you do let the cork out of the bottle and say what's on your mind, blow up. I don't even have the liberty to say, this is my trouble. This is what's on my mind. No liberty. Amen. No, nobody's saying amen in church. You say, why? No liberty. Nobody come to the altar. They don't have the liberty to go to the altar. Amen. We run into some folks from time to time, they don't even believe in going to the altar. We don't believe in going to the altar at church. Well, I'd like to see the verse, why not? It's not in the Bible. It's not in the Bible. Well, neither is missions. One fellow that believes that above all things, I'm going to the altar. He believes in missionaries above all things. Support mission, support mission, support mission. Mission not in the Bible. How are you going to get out of that argument? Well, you know, Paul did this missionary journey, and no, that's not what you said. You said missions. You said going to the altar was not in the Bible. You're telling me public prayer, togetherness prayer, prayer in unison as a group of believers on the Lord Jesus Christ, you're telling me that that's not biblical. You're telling me that's not in the Bible. That's ridiculous. It's all over the Bible. If my people, not if my person who is called by my name will go to his closet at his house, that's not what it says. If my people, don't you reckon they could do that together if they wanted to? But you can't do that because there's no liberty. Amen. Amen. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. I like the books of Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Got a lot of good stuff in it. But chapter number 1, verse number 7, he says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Talking about the spirit. Where the spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Here's a spirit right here. God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Do you got the spirit of fear? I'll tell you what, the Northeast has a spirit of fear. I couldn't tell you how wonderful it was to walk around through North Carolina and South Carolina and Georgia and Florida over the past week and walk right into a store, no mask. Amen. And when you walked in without a mask, nobody went, sir, you do not have a mask on. Oh, thanks for telling me. You walk in a store around here, sir, you don't have a mask on. Oh, I didn't know that. It must have slipped away while I wasn't looking. It's wonderful to walk around like that. You say, why? Because people ain't got the fear of it down there like that. They're watching the same commercials you are. They're looking at the same sign on the door that you're looking at when you go into a place of business. If you do not come in this establishment with a mask, you will fall over dead in 15 minutes. Fear. Fear. You say, Brother Mike, you want to catch COVID? Not today. I think I already had it. But whatever the case might be, you fear the Lord, He'll give you liberty. You fear corona, you're in bad shape because it ain't going nowhere. Amen. A fellow got in my truck one day and he said, man, had his mask on. What do you think about this corona? I said, I don't think about it at all. Well, what are you going to do? Sit around and think about it 24 hours a day? If you sit around and think about the Lord like you thought about this, all this stuff that's going on, what are we going to do with Biden? What are we going to do with corona? Boy, if you sit around thinking, what am I going to do with the Lord? The Lord made me. The Lord, man, the Lord said, thou shalt not do this, and the Lord said, thou shalt not do that, and I've done this, and I've done that, and oh my goodness, what am I going to do? Boy, you'd be so right with God, there'd be that little Catholic glow around your head. You ever been to Catholic church? All the people that's painted up on the walls got this little glow. I ain't never run it. Ain't none of us saved because I ain't never seen none of that. Can you see mine? No, it ain't there, amen. But if you sit around thinking like that 24 hours a day, if you worried about that as much as you worry about all this junk, oh, they're gonna come get our guns. We're going to get corona. I said to that fella, he got in my truck, he said, what are you doing about corona? I said, nothing. Well, you got it. Pray and ask God to help you. Amen. Because I got news for you, mister. I said, everybody is going to get it before it's over with. Amen. Matter of fact, you better take that mask off and go out and get you some. I'm telling you, you better get it now before you protect yourself from it until the third or fourth version comes out and starts killing people by the dozen. I'd get the immunity before it gets bad. You said, could it get worse than it is now, Brother Mike? I think so. I think so. Read over there in the book of Exodus about all them plagues that God said. You think coronavirus is not from God? If you said that, the news media, if somebody heard you say that, the news media would be right down here. Are you saying that God did this? Back in the day when a hurricane would come through, they'd say, this is God's judgment. That's what they said when hurricane... What's her name? Katrina, that's right. Her. The preacher said, it's God. And then, you know, they used to do that every time something happened. They'd say, this is God's judgment. I'm talking about one of, you know, the 700 Club or something like that. This is God's judgment. Well, the news media called him out on Katrina and said, that's so insensitive that you would say that. Oh, we're sorry. I don't know that guy's name on the 7, but I remember distinctly it was that guy. I just don't remember his name. Don't keep up. Pat Sajak. What's his name? Robertson. Pat Robertson. That's right. He said, we're sorry. I didn't mean to offend nobody. And they ain't said nothing about God during a national emergency since then. Nobody has. Don't say that. We want to be popular. We want to be popular. We want them to think we're on their side. Well, I'm not on their side. You sitting here this morning and you're lost, we can't be on your side. You have to come be on our side. Amen. You say, why? Because we're not on our side. We're on God's side. And God's side is on a different side than you. We're for people getting saved. That's part of the job. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Why? So they'll get mad? No, so they get saved. But we're on God's side. We've got to take God's side. We have to take God's side. You say, why? Because on God's side is where the liberty's at. That's true because you know that because you can't sleep before you get saved. You can't rest. Your nerves can't get quiet. You can't have no peace. There is no peace, saith my God to the wicked. That's what God said. That's not what Brother Mike said. That's what the Bible says. You say, that's rough. I know it's rough. I found out it was rough. Amen? Then I found out where the peace was. Got on God's side. Amen. A preacher's supposed to stand up and say, well, New Orleans get right. It'll quit getting destroyed every 2 or 3 years. I believe that. And it'd help if you'd move out of the gutter. New Orleans, that whole place is under sea level. That's not the good place to build your house. Look, if I spent $1 million building a house out here on the coast and a hurricane blew it down every year, I believe I'd build a little closer inland somewhere, don't you? That's your own stupid fault. Takes a little common sense to get through this life, I tell you that. Amen? Well, my fifth wife just left me. Okay, how about let's try something different this time? Does that make sense to anybody but me? Amen. I keep trying to live a happy life, but I just keep failing. I got something else for you to try. Well, I ain't wired for that. I know you're wired for hitting a brick wall, ain't you? Oh, I'm not wired for all that religion stuff. You're wired for messing up every 5 weeks, ain't you? Does that make sense? Well, people keep trying to do the same thing. They get the same result. It looks like pretty soon they'd say, well, let me try something different. The problem is it ain't got hard enough on you yet for you to go to the maker of liberty and ask him to help you. Amen. I'd say, Lord, help me with this. I got a God that I know is going to help me. From Georgia to North Carolina last night, I was thinking about, man, it's going to get cold tonight. It was in the 70s. Whoo, we was having fun down in Georgia. But on our way back, I said, we're going back into the land of the snowmen. And I asked Ruth, I said, what's the temperature going to be like? She starts looking up, down in the 20s. And they're calling for stuff to be, it's raining, smits and snow around Richmond and stuff like that. I said, man, it's going to get bad. Brother Mike don't like to be driving his children. I like to drive in snow, but not with everybody and not more than 5 miles an hour. You know how long it's going to take to get from Richmond to Delaware, going 5 miles an hour? God help us. Well, when we got up about Petersburg, Virginia, right there below Richmond, it turned 32 degrees. I was watching it every 5 minutes, punching it, 32. There's where the ice shows up. I started praying, God, help me. I was worried. Next thing you know, this car flies by. It's a sign from God. Road's not froze yet. If I see that fella swerving, I'll slow down. So we got headed on out. Temperature dropped 31, 30, 29, 28. Well, just keep it going. I guess under ordinary conditions, I'd have had a busted ulcer. I worry about stuff like that, especially when my family's involved. But eventually the Lord said, just relax. Just relax. And so I did. Went on. I don't think I could do that under ordinary conditions. Except the Lord be with me. Except the Lord be with me. You know, I've had to worry about all sorts of stuff like that before. You know, we hadn't always been millionaires like we are today. We are not millionaires. But at any rate, boy, from time to time, Lord, you know, we got to eat this week. Amen. Lord, we need something from you. Lord, just don't worry about it. The Lord's always took care. Amen. Oh, the Lord, while there's things to worry about, the Lord give you liberty so that you can do something else besides worry. Well, all I can do is tell you how to get a hold of that liberty. I've done preached most of my hour away. That gum clock, I believe that clock is fast. But at any rate, 2 Timothy chapter 1, I told you, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. The Lord will give you the liberty to get right. A sound mind. A sound mind that thinks clearly. You know, a sound mind that thinks clearly, be able to sit down after prayer and after reading God's word, you'll be able to say, now this is the way God wants things. This is the way my maker wants things. This is the one that made me. He likes it this way. He said it ought to be this way. Now listen, if you bought an engine from Briggs & Stratton and you never worked on an engine before and you was trying to figure that engine out, and you wanted to make that engine run, and you wanted to put it on something and make that something move or work or produce or whatever you bought the engine for, do you think you'd be better off to hit it with hammers and knock it around with screwdrivers until it just magically rolled over there on a frame of some kind and started doing the work that it's supposed to do? Or do you think you called down Briggs and Stratton and say, hey, how you make this stupid thing work? Which one you think would be the best one to do? Kick it, throw it across the room. That's what people do when stuff don't work. They kick it and throw it across the room. That's what they do when they can't make their wife do what they want to do. Kick them and beat them and throw them across the room. That's what happens. You say, what you supposed to do? You're supposed to get in touch with the one that made that woman and say, God, help me to figure this out. This old ticker you got beating in your chest, the God is the giver of life. When the heart don't feel right, when it don't think right, when it don't do right, when it don't act right, you're supposed to get in touch with the maker of the product and say, God, how is this thing supposed to work anyway? Amen. People not happy, they just beat it around, beat this body around. Maybe I'll feel good after this. Yeah, until you die, stupid. But God will give you a sound mind. Sound mind picks up the phone and calls Briggs and Stratton or whatever other kind of machinery you got. How you make this thing work? You're not just going to magically make it work. Amen? But the Bible says God give us a sound mind, be able to think clearly and see correctly and make good choices. That's what happens when you get saved. You can try to be good. You can try to be good all you want to. But when somebody good actually moves in your heart, you begin, I bet I shouldn't be doing that. Amen. Amen. Even you're saved and not been doing what you ought to do, get in a place where you act just like you're lost again. Amen. Then all of a sudden you get down on the altar somewhere and start crying out to God, God, help me, would you? Help me, God. Help me, God. A little tear starts popping up, rolling down your cheek. And God says, now, listen a little while, son. Wouldn't you rather hear that still small voice that says, just listen a little while, son, and I'll talk it over with you and tell you and explain it all to you, give you exactly what you need. Ain't that a better voice to hear than the rage that's inside your head most of the time when you're just doing things your way? How do I get away from that rage, Brother Mike? Spirit of the Lord brings liberty. Amen. Brings liberty. Amen? Liberty to get right. Let's look in Hebrews chapter 4 right quick. Hebrews chapter 4. Got the liberty to get right. In Hebrews chapter 4, it says over in verse number 16, let us therefore come boldly before the unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You got the liberty to pray. Do you know you can pray anytime? You can pray all the time. At least you ought to pray sometime, Baptist folk. You ought to pray sometime. You know, Bible-believing Baptists can be so critical. Oh, them charismatics, they're not doing it right. Oh, them Catholics, they're not doing it right. They're not, them primitive Baptists, they're not, Southern Baptists, they're not doing it right. Them Amish, you know, they're not doing it right. Well, hey, let's not worry too much about that. Let's worry about how we doing it. Amen? Amen? Say, hey, Lord, you say, how do you do that? Spend a lot of time praying. I believe a man really prayed. The Bible said you're coming before the throne of grace. I don't believe you can get that close to God and be worried about what everybody else is doing. Now, there are things that God calls a man to do, to be a teacher, to be an evangelist, to be a pastor. Just by vocation, he has to worry about other people. And not just how they're doing. When a pastor is worried about other people, he's not just worried about how they're doing it wrong. There's way more than that going on. Well, everybody knows that everybody else is doing something wrong. That ain't even the hard part. Let me figure out who's doing what, and I'll tell you what. God just called me to this city, and now I'm the pastor, and I'm going to figure out how to get you right. But I got to figure out what you're doing wrong. You're an idiot. That's an idiot way of going about things. You know what it takes to get Brother Eric right? Same thing it takes to get Brother Heath right. Got to find a way to make them fall in love with the Lord. And the same goes for Sister So-and-so and Sister Who's He Watching. You just got to figure out how to get a hold of men's heart. And ain't nobody I know of knows how to do that except for God.
Amen.
So just get you a Bible and start preaching about God. And eventually you'll hit everything that needs to be hit.
That's right.
If you can get them to come to church more than 1 week in a row. Brother Ken, this week I'm going to go to church 1 week in a row. That's the week I have kitchen duty. Well, I hope somebody's down there preaching hard. I think we got a TV in the kitchen, don't we? We'll get you in the kitchen, amen. Who's in the kitchen?
Brother Joe.
Brother Joe! Brother Joe! Coming to get you. Way down there in the kitchen. Amen. Well, probably so. Amen. His wife's up here. I'm safe. Amen. That's right. But liberty to pray, that's what you got the liberty to do. Amen. I don't know if I can get you right, but I got a shot at it because I can pray and ask God. Amen. From time to time, you know, we'll be riding home from church after church, and Ruth will say, "You've done got me in trouble." I'll say, "I didn't do that. You got yourself in trouble. You married me." No, she said, "That ain't what I'm talking about." She said, "So-and-so told me this last week, and they're going to swear that I come home." You believe that if you want to. But my wife don't tell me what to preach.
Mine. No.
We can tell. No, I'm just kidding. I promise I'm kidding about that. Only because we heard her say that stuff last week. No. But listen here. You just pray and begin to preach, and pretty soon God begin to show things.
Amen.
Amen. And I've had people come to you preaching. You said, don't get mad at me. I did it honestly. I'm not trying to pick nobody out. I have done that once or twice. But that's after much long suffering. Amen. And you don't try to really hurt nobody's feelings. One time we had a lady in the church down there in Georgia, and she had two or three little girls that never sinned. They were, you know, immaculately conceived, and they never done nothing. And they were so holy and righteous, they didn't have to come to Sunday school or nothing like that. And they were picking on these other girls. These other girls was in church every service, and they were coming to all the youth events and all the revivals, and they were reading their Bible and memorizing scripture, but they wore makeup. But this holy, immaculate family didn't wear no makeup, and they didn't wear no dresses above their ankles, and they were always giving these little teenage girls a hard time. So we'll let that go a long time. Those little girls reading their Bibles a lot stronger than you think they are. But eventually I just said, "Look, y'all picking on these girls because they're wearing makeup, and you don't even come to Sunday school. That makes you a hypocrite." Well, they didn't come back to church no more. But you're talking about a long train of offenses went on before that. And I'm not afraid to do that. "Well, Brother Mike, I just think you need to save each one." Well, tell that to Jesus. When Jesus preached the things that they didn't believe and stood for the principles that the people didn't believe, and the people began to leave one by one, Jesus didn't chase them down the street. "Will you please come back?" He turned around to the rest and said, "Do you want to go too? Wilt thou go also?" They said, "Boy, we ain't got nowhere else to go." Amen. Well, you say, "Well, how could I get to the place where God would speak to me?" Well, listen, you ain't never going to get to the place. If the intent of your heart is to get to the place where God can talk to you about other people's problems, you ain't never going to get there. Amen. God don't need your counsel. You need God's counsel. But what I am saying is there is a miraculous thing that takes place in a Christian's life where when he has the liberty to pray and the liberty to go to God, he can talk to God and fellowship with God and commune with God. Things begins to get fixed in your life that otherwise ain't going to get fixed. Some of them fears that we were talking about, he didn't give you the spirit of fear. He gave you the spirit of a sound mind. Now you got the liberty to get right. You got the liberty to pray. God, help me. And I got news for you. If you'll get real close to God and you'll come before the throne of grace and talk to him on a regular basis, you ain't got to worry about what some preacher's going to say. And when that preacher gets to preaching and he gets off way off in his own convictions, he's not going to offend you too much. Amen. Because you're right with God. And if you're right with God, if you've got the liberty to fellowship with God and you've got the liberty to commune with God, there ain't no preacher going to blast you out of that. And people talk about, it's hard preaching, going to hurt people. The Bible doesn't say that. Paul says in the book of Corinthians, he said, I made you sorry by a letter so that we would not damage you. Make all the arguments you want to about that. I mean, you could be a jerk. I mean, you could be a jerk. I've seen jerk preachers. You ought not be a jerk about things. You ought not just say things because I saw this happen and now I'm going to say something about it because I'm a man. That's probably the attitude you have with your wife, I'd say. That's probably why she's mad at you all the time, because you are a jerk. Being a jerk tends to run ladies off, fellas. I don't know if I could give you any woman-catching tips or not. But that's one of them. Thou shalt not be a jerk. Well, it's her. Well, it couldn't have been her 12 times in a row. Could it? Me and my wife fuss a lot. It's always her fault. I doubt that. Maybe sometime. I might even give you most of the time, but not every time. Couldn't be every time. Well, I done preached on that a while ago. But liberty to pray. Effectual. James chapter 5 says the effectual, fervent prayers of a righteous man. That word effectual means adequate power or force to produce the effect. Some folks pray, oh God, please help me. That's a good prayer. But once you go back and say, oh, God, help me again, if you're just repeating the same thing, oh, God, please help me every time, again, that's a good prayer. That'll get some things done. But the Bible says that the effectual, fervent prayers of a righteous man availeth much. The word effectual means adequate power or force to produce the effect. Inside the definition that I looked up for effectual, it says veracious, which means observant of the truth. Observant of the truth. An effectual prayer is observant of the truth. God, I'm no good. That's one of the best prayers that a man can pray. God, I'm no good. You know what will fix your house? Boy, we're talking about wives or something. Brother Eric, you're not. Y'all ain't falling out with your wives this morning, are you? Because we've hit it a couple of times already. I'm beginning to smell a rat. I have to watch my mouth talking to Brother Eric. He's bigger than me. He punched me in the mouth. I'll show you how much problems I'm having. He's my friend. Amen. But no, you say it's all her fault or whatever the case might be, but you're not being truthful and honest about that thing. What you ought to do is say, God, I need your help. I need your help. And what I was starting to say is this. If you, listen, one of the things that'll smooth things out your house when you're throwing dishes and stuff at one another is one of those things that helps in a situation like that is, I'm wrong. I'm sorry about that. But I'm the head of the house. No, you're a moron. You're ahead of the morons. You're a moron. She's a moron for marrying you, and you're making morons out of your kids. That makes you the head of the morons. That's right and true. When I mess up, I go to my kids. So I'm sorry about that. I'm sorry about that. You don't get to run me. You don't get to hold it over my head that I made a mistake. Because I don't hold it over your head when you make a mistake. I'm not giving up parental authority here. I'm not making you my equal because you're not my equal. I don't treat my kids like my equals. They are my friends. I've heard preachers say, you can't be friends with your kids. Well, it's obvious you don't want to be. I'm friends with my kids. I like my kids better than I like you. I'm mystified. I'm mystified at people this day and time. They have kids. They live with them every day. They barely even talk to them, and they'd much rather go hang out with somebody else. We'll go fishing with somebody else. We'll go shoot guns with somebody else. We'll go, everything else you're doing. I mean, what about that kid there? I wish I would have been preaching this message from the very start. But what I'm trying to get across to you is, and some people don't even have the liberty to do this, is just lay out the facts. Hey, I'm sorry I did that wrong. Hey, dear wife, I'm sorry I did that wrong. And I would say, give you the example of the wife saying, I'm sorry, dear husband, I'm wrong, but I never heard such a thing as that before. So I don't know if that's possible for a woman or not. Observant of the truth, expressive of the facts. Hey, God! I'm messing this thing up. Help me. I did this wrong and that wrong. I did that wrong and I want to do it wrong this way too. God, help me. Lay out the facts. And the Bible says fervent prayer. The definition of fervent in one word is a fire. And, dear Jesus, I thank thee. You got to talk where he can hear you. Amen. God can hear all prayers. No, I think God's a little hard of hearing. Because God put in a request for fervent prayers. A prayer that burns like a fire. Oh, God! Oh, God! I said, Brother Mike, then I would feel kind of idiot. You mean you don't feel like an idiot doing the junk you've been doing? Amen. Is that what you're telling me? You don't feel stupid riding down Main Street in the bed of a pickup truck going, whoa, boys! Whoa! God's seen you doing that stupid junk. You mean stupid like that? You mean stupid like, hey, boys, watch me kill this fifth of Jack Daniels. Wake up 2 weeks later in the hospital. Well, I wonder why when serving God and doing things the way God wants to be done, people call that, that's a little bit fanatical, isn't it? Hanging off the back of a boat at 30 miles per hour is not fanatical. They convinced me to hang off the back of a boat at 30 miles an hour one time, broke my arm. I believe I'm done. Plus, cost the church. The church paid to have my arm. I was so poor, I couldn't pay attention back then. The church paid to have my arm fixed. Well, the insurance did or something like that. But at any rate, you ain't got the liberty to pray now. You can't holler at God. You've been hollering at your boys and hollering at them old heifers on Facebook. You can't holler at God. That's right, ain't it? People do everything in the world. Then we get to church, I'm all of a sudden, I'm conservative. I know I just don't live that way. Go tell somebody. One thing about being a preacher is you've got the liberty to hear the truth. And some of the stuff you say just don't come out as truth. Somebody come up and start talking to you and the preachers just look at one another. Look. Nope, that didn't happen. Preacher, we was on our way to church this morning and big rocks fell out of the sky and crushed our vehicle. No. 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 We got up, we lost our keys. No. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. You stumbled in drunk last night. They fell in the driveway. It took you all morning to find them, but they wouldn't lost. Amen? Amen? Preacher, we'd be back in church, but it's this COVID stuff. No, no, it's not. Hello, folks in radio land. If it's not keeping you away from Walmart, it's not keeping you away from church. Amen. You're welcome. If you're not going to Walmart and you're afraid and you're scared, ain't nobody telling you got to come out and commit suicide by COVID. Nobody telling you that. Nobody's telling you that. But if you're going to Walmart, if you've got the liberty to go to Walmart, You got the liberty to come to church. Amen. Well, they're wearing masks at Walmart, Brother Mike. Not in Georgia, they ain't. Do masks work? Then wear yours. Come to church. Amen. Amen. Acts chapter 1, he said, when the Holy Spirit's come upon you, you'll receive power. And after you receive that power, he said, you'll be a witness. If you're a Christian dealing with the Lord like you ought to be, you got the power to witness. You got the liberty to witness. Whenever somebody starts to witness this day, Brother Heath, there is such an oppression in this world right now to keep Christians from talking about Christ. You go to somebody and start to witness, and the devil will say this. I guarantee every one of you men that try to live for the Lord, you've heard this in your mind in the last 2 or 3 months. Now is not the time. The devil will say, now is not the time. Well, you're right here in front of all these people. Now is not the time. Amen. I think now is the time, don't you? I wish I done preached all my time away, but if you've got liberty, and the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. You got the Holy Spirit in your heart, you ought to get in such good fellowship with the Lord that even when the devil says, now's not the time. I'll tell you, this now is the time. Amen. Now is the time. The Spirit of the Lord in your heart is going to say, now is the time. It may be the only time. When I was a boy, they used to preach, this may be your last chance. This may be, people not afraid anymore. Oh, I heard that and I'm just going to go my own way. People used to be afraid because the man preaching had the liberty to say, this is the way it is and it might be your last chance. It might be your last time. It was a sense of urgency. Now is the time. Yesterday was the time. I'm sorry I didn't get to you yesterday. Can I tell you about Jesus? No, okay, sorry. No sense of urgency that way. You tell people about Jesus with the same urgency that a stop the bridge is out sign has. You see a big sign on the side of the road, stop, bridge out. It doesn't look like a suggestion to me. Amen. It looks like, hey, if I keep going, I'm going to die down there in the river.
That's right.
Amen. And Christians say, could I tell you about Jesus? Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to offend you. Sorry about that. God ain't worried about offending people.
Amen.
Where's the commandment that says thou shalt not offend people? I'm sure there's something in the Bible that will tell us not to just be a jerk and be stupid and not know how to handle people and deal with people. There's verses that you've got to be kind and you've got to be prayerful about things and got to be have some sound reason in your mind so that you can. But the underlying factor ought to be a blaze in that going, you better stop! You better stop! You better stop! You better stop! That's going on inside of your soul while you're saying, hey, let me tell you about Jesus who loved you and died for
Amen.
You. And the devil's in your ear over here going, now's not the time, now's not the time. You're going to hurt that guy. You're going to hurt him. You're going to run him off. You're going to turn him off to Christianity.
Amen.
And whatever stupid you might say, don't you think there's a God in heaven Amen. That's going to go home with that fella and say, well, you know, what he said might not have been clear, but what he meant is you need to get saved by the grace of God.
Amen.
I believe that with all my heart. But there's got to be some Christians who have the liberty to tell the story. Has to be. You're saved, ain't you? You got the Spirit of God, don't you? The Bible says the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Lord, we thank you for your goodness and for your grace. Help brother as he preaches. Lead us and guide us this morning. We'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen. Amen.